I'd like to talk to one aspect about Ananoema. Now, I've already said, and I really mean it, the only thing you can really say about Ananoema is you can't say anything about her. That is, she was too much to be defined. Just like you couldn't say, oh, Ma always did this, Ma always did that. I remember my very first private talk with Ma. My second private talk with Ma, which was up in the ashram in Haridwar, and a very great sadhu, Swami Keshavananda, was my translator. And he traveled with Ma and was one of the most ideal sadhus I have ever seen in my life. So Ma was sitting there, and I was asking questions. He was translating. Then I asked a question, and he said, I'm sorry, Ma won't answer that question. She refuses to answer that type of question. And after all, he'd known Ma for decades. So I believed him, but I said, will you take a chance? Will you ask Ma this question? So he did, and Ma gave a detailed answer. He was amazed. He said, why, Ma just never talks about that usually, or never talks, not usually. Ma never talks about that, and usually says no. But she did. So you could never say anything about her. She was never fully here, nor was she ever fully there. She was simultaneously there and not there. My yoga siddha friend, Dutta Bal, said to me, don't believe what you see when you look at Ma. That is just like a little layer. He said it's like skin. That is there so you can relate to her, so she can communicate with you. But he said, if suddenly that was taken away, you would die. It would be as though you had gone into the infinite light and it would dissolve you. I knew a yogi, a very genuine yogi, who went from America to India. He lived there really for quite a while, wandering here and there. And naturally, he wanted to meet Ma, so eventually he went to where Ma was. And so he came up and he went to pranam. That means you bow down completely and put your head right on the ground in front of the person. And as he was bowing down, he thought, I wonder who you really are. And he said, suddenly he was looking into the center of an atomic blast. And it just completely, as you can imagine, disoriented him. And he said, for a while he couldn't move. And then he sat up and sort of blinked and looked at Ma. And he couldn't even say anything, because he'd gotten some glimpse of that infinity. So Ma was beyond our grasp, which is lucky for us, because people like us with small minds, what we can grasp isn't worth very much. And people recognize it. Sad to say, people would say she's remote. Ma's very remote. Well, she was, because she wasn't relating to this world. You and I relate to it. We're immersed in it. She wasn't. She was here for us. And so she was always far, far away. She was merciful and kind, and she did great blessings. And yet you knew that the essence of her was infinitely, infinitely away. And I've known people, the type that have to always, they don't know that bhakti means dedication to God. Of course, it's love of God, but it's a love that, like, you love your country, you give your life for your country. It's not like, oh, I just love, love, love. So they would say, I've had people say to me, I love Ma, but I don't know if Ma loves me. I won't even comment on that statement, except that it's completely wrong-headed in every way. Ma, of course, never loved your ego, and since you identify with the ego, you're right, she didn't love you. But what was real about you, she didn't just love you, she experienced being one with you. So she had this transcendent aspect and this immanent aspect. But again, she didn't say the same thing all the time. She didn't do the same thing all the time. I mean, I got a little tired of hearing people say, well, Ma never did that before. Well, isn't that? Don't you think someone who's infinite has got infinite modes of acting? Or, oh, I'm surprised. But anyway, so it was. So you can hardly say anything. There are a couple of things that I would like to say, though. Though now I only remember one. Maybe I'll remember number two. I'll tell you number one. You see, great leaders, both when they're alive and very much when they leave, any institutions formed around them, whether they wanted it or not. Now, Ma, by the way, used to say, I have no ashrams. And there were about 24 places listed as being Anandamayi ashrams, being part of the Anandamayi Sangha, which was supposedly around Mother. You think you could put anything around Mother? But little people have little ideas. So if they say, Ma, such and such an ashram, she'd say, I have nothing to say. It's your ashram. You started it. I didn't say it should be started. I have nothing to do with it. Yet, she personally supervised our ashram for the last 15 years of her life. And I mean, really supervised. It told me details. Ma even told me how to set up the ashram kitchen. Ma told me all kinds of rules and all kinds of way it was to be done. So there's a Zen story about a Roshi that asked someone a philosophical question, and they gave him this answer, and the Roshi said, that's right. And the next day he asked him, and the disciple gave the same answer, and Roshi said, no, it's not true. And the disciple said, well, yesterday you told me it was right, I don't understand. And the Roshi said, yesterday it was yes, and today it's no. And I'm not going to try to interpret that, but it seemingly is a favorite, at least Renzai Zen story. So Ma was always new, and therefore you couldn't manage. But the Anandamayi Sangha packaged Ma. They presented Ma. Ma was a commodity. They needed money. They wanted money. And so, Ma was a commodity. All of these great ones, they have organizations that they didn't start, but suppose devotees started, And then they got bigger and bigger, and they had a budget. And so then they started peddling books about the Great One, and maybe pictures of the Great One, you see. And it had to, the image had to please the public. So there were all kinds of things that people said about Ma because they wanted her to be that way, not that she was, or that the consumers would be satisfied with it. You see? Let me tell you an interesting idea. Ma, of course, was beyond identity with anything and beyond definition. But here's something I expect you will never, ever hear except from me. Not because I got any great spatial insight, but because I doubt if anyone's around that were told this incident. Now, one of my dear friends was a Dr. Ghosh, who was one of the main people in the founding and the maintenance of the Anandamayi Ashram in Ranchi, Bihar. Dr. Ghosh was a dentist, and just a block down the street he had his office. Actually, the ashram was meant to be his house. Dr. Ghosh had some Catholic nuns come to him for dental work. There were two of them. And he liked them very much. They liked him, and they were friends. And sometimes, you know, they would even talk when they came for their dental work. And they learned he was a devotee of Ma. They were horrified. They said, well, she's just an ordinary human being like the rest of us. He said, no, she's not. Yes, she is, they said. So anyway, he said, you know, when you, so one time with one of these, yes, she is, no, she's not, sessions, he said, when Ma comes next time, I'm going to take you to meet her. So when Ma came and was there at the ashram, he took them to meet her. And they just stood there. They didn't say anything. They looked at Ma. And later when they left, he said, tell me, is she just a human being? And they wouldn't answer him because he knew she wasn't. Okay, but let's go back now to identities. Dr. Ghosh introduced him to Ma. And Ma said immediately, tell them this body, because Ma usually said this body rather than I, is also a nun. Okay? Ma identified with them and said, well, we're the same kind of people. Because mother was Kumari, of course she was virgin. But more than that, she had the mind of the sannyasi. She had the mind of the son. And that's how she identified. You see? Nobody will talk about that because nobody wants to be a monk, so nobody wants to say, mother, I had this attitude. However, in Mother is Seen by Her Devotees, which was the very first book that you could get on Mother at that time in the 60s, it was essays of people about their experiences with Ma. One of them said that the only complaint he had about Ma, he said the only fly in the ointment about Ma was her marked, he didn't just say preference, marked preference for sadhus. And Ma called women Ma. She called or Mataji. She called all men Pitaji, father. But very young children and sannyasi, she called my friend. not mother, not father, my friend. I sent a letter with a friend of mine who went to India to be with Ma before I ever went. And I wrote in a letter to Ma. I don't remember what was in it. But anyway, I wrote her a letter. So after the translator had relayed Ma's answer, my friend wrote it down, the translator said, Ma considers him a sannyasi. She said, really? She said, yes. Because Ma, before she dictated the letter, she said, write to my friend. And then she said the words. Why? Why? Why this identity? It should be thought about. All right? I'm satisfied with it because she called me friend. Now then, let's think of another. Let's get beyond the borders of India and sell Ma. Let's get the product all passed, all the package all wrapped up and ready in the ribbon to satisfy everybody and to have everybody. I remember across the street from Anandamoy Ashram, there was a restaurant, but they had big ads for fountain pens called Ajanta Pens. And the slogan was, everybody likes it. So everybody's got to like the product. And there's people throughout the world you'd like to sell the product. And these people have different ideas. They have different religions. So Ma identifies with no particular religion. Ma identifies with no particular culture. Ma identifies with no particular country. I even read in one of the publications, Ma could have been as easily born in Africa as in India. The question of converting to Hindu religion, Sanatana Dharma is the right term, often comes up. Mother's universal. Everything. Well, it is true. Ma herself told me about 2 o'clock in the morning one time in the Dehradun Ashram. Mother told me that she went through a sadhana period. That's written about in the books. It was nothing just for me. But she told me that during her sadhana period, she practiced every spiritual discipline of every religion in the world. And she said, therefore, whoever of any religious background came to her, she understood what they were doing, and she could even advise them right in the context of their like real spiritual practice. So this was very definitely true. But because there's this question, and frankly, I became a Hindu. I didn't care if all of India said it couldn't be done. I knew what I was already. I knew what I was born. So I was. But I don't know, somebody made some fuss somewhere along the line. Anybody who came to Ashram, I mean, for heaven's sakes, there's deities there. And we did ritualistic worship of the deities constantly. We practiced yoga from India. Where else from would it be from? We sang kirtan. We sang the names of the gods. We didn't do anything that wasn't Hindu. So anyway, there were some rumblers, not in the ashram, but outside. So I thought, let me ask Ma. So I said, Ma, can a person adopt Hindu Dharma. By that, it meant Sananda Dharma. See? Now, that's the question. Ma, is it possible for non-Indian people to adopt Hindu Dharma? Here's the answer. No one has to make any observance or anushtana. Anushtana is kind of it can be a ritual, it's some kind of observance. Even it can be stretched to mean worship, you see. And she said this because there were our groups in India that if you're not Hindu and you say, I want to be a Hindu, they do these rituals, they do these observances. Usually they have a person fast for a certain period. It may just be a day, two, three, four. One group has people eat nothing and only drink milk because milk is considered very purifying for 4 days. And then after the fourth day, the ritual is done. They're inducted into Hinduism. All right, so that's what is the thing about the anushtana. Sorry for the long footnote. But so Ma said, no one need perform any anushtana or do any particular observance to adopt, here's the words, Omura Dharma, our Dharma. It's just Ma talking to me. She says, our Dharma. It all can sound very interesting and Advaitic when people say, oh, Ma didn't say I, Ma just said this body, etc., etc. Well, let me tell you, when it came to Hindu Dharma, Ma said it was her Dharma. She said, you need only adopt it and follow it. And that meant you could be Hindu. Which is obvious, because real Sananda Dharma is just reality. It's just the facts. It's not a series just of beliefs. It's a series of facts. These things do exist. The gods do exist. There are these levels in creation. We do come many times. We do evolve. There is a law called karma. It's just, you know, when I was a kid, the famous TV program was Dragnet, where the main character would keep saying, we just want the facts. That's what it is. It's the facts. In one sense, it's not a religion because it's superior to all religion. But it's the only real Dharma, I'd say. But she said, our Dharma. Ma Anandamayi was a Sanatana Dharmi. Yes, then say she was a Hindu. And you know, when you draw close to the fire, you get warm. And when you got close to Ma, you figured out what you were. And that's the real truth. I have had people and yogis and very, very honorable people and good people say to me, Ma's ashrams are too orthodox. They're the most orthodox ashrams in India. By orthodox, they meant orthodox Hindu in a sense of strict observance. And that was right. And I'm happy to tell you that I went there and I stayed there and I watched them and I did the same. I followed what I learned. You see? Because that was the only way I was going to be in sync with Ma. I mean, I couldn't really be Ma or be like Ma. But this is the truth, and those that don't like it can just go away and whistle Dixie. But Ma was 100% Hindu. Now, a 100% Hindu appreciates and honors and feels at one with all religions. So we're not talking about a sectarianism like, well, I'm in and you're out. But this is the real truth about Ma. Now, there we go. I've been wanting to say it for quite a while. If you think someone is divinity walking the earth, aren't you going to do what they do? I never knew of Ma observing Yom Kippur. I never knew of Ma observing Easter. And go on and say all the rest you want. But she certainly did observe, and I mean observe, all the festivals and all the disciplines and all the ways of India.
Adaitam Brahma.